Just Ask Ty segment. We got a question, and in the title it mm-hmm. says imaginary friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing the question is going to be, who's your favorite imaginary friend out of all your imaginary friends you have right now? And I'm not going to tell you because it's going to make all the other ones feel bad about themselves.
Oh, that's a good point. Did you have an imaginary friend when you were a kid?
Okay, is that the question?
That is the question.
Hold on. So this is the Morning Struggle podcast.
Oh, yes.
This is our Sunday Jessie Asks Ty segment. She comes up with a random thought.
Mm-hmm.
She asks me. Then we give you some cool facts.
Yep.
And so it just makes you think, makes you go to your water cooler at work on Monday and say, oh, I've got some facts I've found out over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, were those facts legit? You might want to verify those. And we try our best to verify
Mine are verified.
Them. Yeah, okay, so here we go. What's your question this week?
Did you or have you had an imaginary friend?
No, I don't think so. I was a really popular like 2 to 4 year old. So I had way too many friends to start with.
Oh my gosh.
So I actually didn't. I actually on the first, I was at a Miss Billy's.
Uh-huh.
Miss Billy's, or I think it was maybe it's Miss Billy's. No, my brother went to Miss Billy's. Whatever my daycare.
I think he went to Miss Billy's.
Not here where we live now. So anyway, but on the first day,
mm-hmm.
where some girl, little girl in a nice little dress,
mm-hmm.
came on her first day, and I'm at my daycare, and I'm the man of the daycare, and I'm the king of the daycare, and uh-huh. I'm the bully of the daycare. This is my world.
Yeah.
And I came running up,
mm-hmm.
and I bit her on the forehead, and I threw her in the bushes. That kids like that don't have imaginary friends. Kids like that go to therapy. So that was my childhood in a nutshell. I don't think I bit her on the forehead. I think I like gave her a big hug tackle, and my mouth just probably was open because I was screaming or something. So I don't think I'm a biting kind of kid. But no, I actually don't remember if I had imaginary kids. I'm assuming most, if not everybody, has something along those lines.
It's super common.
But did you have an imaginary friend?
I did. And let me tell you this story.
Okay.
Okay, so I had a great grandmother, and we had obviously a funeral for her because she passed away at some point, right?
Sure.
So as I was growing up, I had an imaginary friend named Betsy.
Okay.
And Betsy, do you know on the newest Guardians of the Galaxy, that pig creature that comes out?
Yeah, sure.
Betsy was like that.
Okay.
Betsy was kind of a blob. And she would get me in all kinds of trouble. She was a naughty little friend, right?
Not a little pig blob.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I would play with her all the time. Like, it was kind of bizarre in kind of a different way. And I remember sitting on the swing set with my great-grandmother and swinging. And my great-grandmother said, you need to stop playing with Betsy. And I was like, okay, all right, that's fine. And that's like its own memory.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember going to her funeral, and it was during the viewing,
mm-hmm.
and me thinking as a little kid, well, why doesn't she just go play? Like, that coffin doesn't look very comfortable. And so I am saying that she was a ghost. And she told me not to hang out with Betsy because Betsy was a demon.
Betsy was a demon.
No.
And your grandma, as a ghost, told you not to play?
Uh-huh.
Whoa, I get it. Like, it wasn't your grandma telling you not. It was your grandma's already dead.
Uh-huh.
And she told you not to play with Betsy.
More than likely, my memory is not accurate in that way because kids' memories. But that's how I'm throwing down that story.
I like it. And then you went to daycare and got bitten and thrown in the bushes. Like, what a terrible experience.
It really was a rough setup.
Yeah.
It was a rough setup. So what's interesting with imaginary friends, they don't necessarily have to be human. Because I actually looked this up, because a lot of imaginary friends are, or they call them imaginary companions when you're doing research. Because if you put imaginary friends in your case study, people...
They're not going to listen to your...
Nope.
You lose your tenure.
Nope. So it's imaginary companions when you're studying it. The majority of them are human beings, like, or a version of a human being. Mine wasn't. Mine was a blob, a little piggy blob. But two out of three kids has an imaginary friend. And the purpose of this, the mental purpose of this, is to help with challenges of socialization and work through feelings of trauma, such as divorce, general distress, moving, that kind of thing. So it's having that security person with you all the time because they're your imaginary friend. They're with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
What they found is that kids that had imaginary friends and then grow up are actually less shy, more socially stable, and have better emotional regulation.
That makes sense why I didn't have an imaginary friend. All right.
Is it all coming together?
Yeah.
All coming together. And what was really cool is that 1 in 5 adults maintain an imaginary companion. So they oftentimes, as adults, We take characters from books and movies, and we bring it into our day-to-day and how they would interact with our environment, or how they would be a friend or a buddy or that kind of thing. And it serves the same purpose of, like, reducing this loneliness and being able to process our emotional stuff as it comes up. They talked about that writers specifically see characters as their own people, and that not that they're creating the character, but the character is going through the story, and then they are historically noting it.
Oh, okay.
Which was an interesting take on writing, because, like, you're not creating the character. Kind of like, what is that one with Stranger Than Fiction?
Sure.
Where he's going through his life.
And then you're just narrating that person's life.
Yes. Okay. So you're just narrating what's happening to them anyway. You're not creating them.
I like that.
Yeah. 1 in 5 readers imagines their character that they're reading and how they would interact in the environment, in their environment. And then similar to how you would interact in their environment. So if I'm reading a bunch of vampire books, for example, how would I interact in that environment?
Yeah.
And you go into like a full imaginary type study, which it wasn't really surprising, really.
Sure.
And then what was the other? Let's see. 1 in 7 see a character as an entity of their own, like that character exists somewhere. So this also happens with, like, Lost. We really like Lost. So Charlie, that character, this idea that character still exists somewhere.
Mm.
Like, it's almost bizarre to see them in other things.
Because you think that they're that character and you don't want to lose that.
Yeah, so the Lost Charlie is Lost Charlie. So if I see him in any other movies or those kind of things, it's almost kind of bizarro.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then the best study I found was that 5% of imaginary companions are due to unexpected phenomenon, a.k.a. ghosts.
It's ghosts. Not a ghost podcast.
It is now.
I swear. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
5%.
5%.
So that means there's 5% of ghosts out there taking care of their business.
Yeah. So if you can have an imaginary friend, you might as well make them legit. Don't make them imaginary. Mm-hmm. Make them a ghost friend.
An actual ghost
friend.
Not a demon, though.
Right.
Okay. Hold back on that.
I like it. I got some facts, too. I went a different way. We always go so different in our facts on this.
It's good.
I just went with friendship. So what is a friend then? Because imaginary friend.
Oh, yeah.
But I got some friend facts.
Tell me some friend facts.
Real friend facts. Not imaginary, because I don't need those things because I'm emotionally unstable. You ready? University of Wisconsin said that men and women can't be friends. What? Heterosexual men and women cannot be friends.
Oh.
They studied 88 couples and they found that all the couples, the guy wanted to be in a relationship with a girl, and the girl didn't want to be in a relationship with the guy.
Oh, interesting.
So if you think you have a friend that's the opposite sex, but...
Is it 80%, though?
It was 88 couples. So
couples.
Like, all of them. It was like 100%. 100% statistically.
Interesting.
So anyway, if you think you have a opposite sex friend, that friend probably thinks differently than you do. Whether you're in love with them or you're not in love with them. Just give you a little heads up. Friends trigger our empathy. This was a study at University of Virginia. They said if something happens to your friend, is as if it's happening to you.
Yes, because they're an extension of you.
Someone hurts your friend, it's the same amount of reaction as if you were being hurt. If a stranger's getting hurt, you say, yeah, okay, whatever, I don't know that person. But if it's a friend, you feel it exactly the same. And not just like, oh, I'm empathetic. Mm-hmm. You actually feel stuff.
So what happens when you hurt your friend?
Is
it just like a weird ricochet effect?
It's like you hurting yourself.
Oh,
it's no different than you hurting yourself. So 1993 anthropologist Robin Dunbar from University of Oxford.
Nice.
They're prestigious.
Mm-hmm.
He did a study on social groups, and he found that individuals can maintain only 150 significant relationships at a time. So you cannot have more than 150 friends, quote unquote friends.
Right.
And then Facebook came around and
they
got millions of friends. You don't have millions of friends. Try moving. Try moving and asking someone for a truck.
A single truck.
Mm-hmm. You don't get a truck off Facebook. There's no way. So 150 friends.
That is true, though. It is interesting how we're trying to expand our social groups when really you can only maintain a certain amount of relationships.
Yep, exactly. And then friends make you more productive at work. So if you have friends at work, you're actually more productive. So when you say, I'm just going to put my headphones on, I don't care about anybody else, I'm way more productive. That's not true. You're not productive at all.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Should we read about it a little bit? This was a sociologist, Jan Jager. Jan Jager, what a name.
Yeah.
Several books. But he warns that they can be different from your other friends, work friends.
Oh, so work friends versus different. The different yep. friends.
And I think probably because you're probably a little competitive with your work friends, you're probably more energized when you talk to your work friends, and you're probably getting collaborative ideas.
Well,
with your
and
friends.
You're comfortable.
Uh-huh.
So if you're comfortable, I would imagine you would be able to be more productive. Or if like you have someone to go to lunch with, you feel a little less sad.
Yep.
So therefore you feel a little happier, yeah. which makes you more productive.
Yep, exactly. Last one, you ready? This is Robin Dunbar again from the University of Oxford.
Nice.
He had all the friend studies.
He's a big deal.
He knew it. He had 150 friends on the button because he knew he couldn't afford one more. He said,
he's like, sorry, I can't be friends
sorry,
with you.
Sorry, I'd love to be friends with you, but I got to knock someone off the list. So give me your resume. Mm-hmm. Give me some reasoning why I should add you to the list. Mm-hmm. And he did that constantly in his life. He did not do that.
No, we're Don't just joking. But
anthropologist Robin Dunbar studied this and he said that love mm-hmm. costs you two friends. So if you find, if you find a love of your life, you're going to lose two friends. So you better have more than two friends, and you better have some of them that are expendable, mm-hmm. or else you better put love on hold, because you're going to get me lonely, and you're going to lose some friends.
I would love to just sit and chat with this gentleman about, because, I mean, he came up with the actual ratio. Like, oh, you're in love? Get rid of two friends.
Get rid of two friends.
Yep.
Yep. So there you go. That's all. That's my friendship facts.
Do you think he's ever actually listed out all of his friends?
Listed his friends?
Yeah, listed his friends out, how many he has or associates.
Is it a he or a she, Robin? Maybe it's a she.
Oh, I thought it was a guy.
Well, why do we just assume because they're an anthropologist? Are there no women anthropologists? You are the, I swear. I am very progressive and yeah. I'm a feminist at heart.
Yeah, apparently yeah. I'm not progressive.
Robin Dunbar. I'm going to say Robin's female. I've got a cousin named Robin and he's a male.
Yeah.
Robin, if you're listening, let me know. And you know what? It doesn't matter today, this day and age.
It doesn't matter.
Hey, whatever.
Robin, you're awesome.
And hopefully you had enough friends to lose some friends when you found your significant other.
Yeah.
So.
Being in love.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. That's friends. So imaginary or not. What if you, can I lose imaginary friends if I fall in love? Because that's easy.
That's it is not
yeah,
easy.
Because they don't have any trucks when I move. I don't. Imaginary
that's
friends,
true.
They're fine. They're companions, but they ain't helping you move on a weekend.
That's true.
When it's nice and sunny outside.
You'd rather be mountain biking.
You'd rather do something else. Okay. There you go. Jesse asked hi. So imaginary friends. Did you have an imaginary friend? Think about it. Talk with your other friends, your real friends about it. Not your Facebook friends. Because mm-hmm. they're not real
your
friends.
Your actual friends.
Your actual friends. And if you don't have actual friends, listen to some of the other episodes. And you can go to the ballet class.
Exactly. Or, you'll get some friends.
Or you can go to the cop shop. Or you can do whatever. You can get yourself some friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to be doing stuff together. Next thing you know, you're all successful. You're at work. You're super productive. You're doing the Ouija boards to talk to ghosts.
No Ouija boards.
Jesse says no Ouija boards.
Ever.
So if you have a Ouija board, you got to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Anyway. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining. This was Jesse Asked Ty. We'll see you on the next one.